You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Researchers from UOA AUT and the National Institute of Water and Atmospheric Research have recently discovered the levels of damage that anchors are causing to Picton Harbour's seabed. Anchors are destroying parts of seabed and producing amounts of sediment that could supposedly fill an Olympic swimming pool. The researchers believe that this could be worse in worse states. This could be in worse states around the world, as Picton Harbour is generally a small, lower congestion port compared to the ports of Wellington, Los Angeles, and Auckland. To learn more, I spoke to NIWA lead researcher and UOA professor Sally Watson about what the study means and what it could predict for anchor damage around the world.
Yeah, so our study was able to find that outside marine ports in New Zealand, in particular the Picton port in the South Island, we see large areas of damage on the seafloor, which essentially look like deep scours and excavation of the seabed. And we know that these can be attributed to the anchoring of high tonnage vessels, so things like cargo and passenger ships. These scours on the seabed can last up to 4 years, and they can be up to 80 centimetres deep. So they're excavating almost a metre of sediment on the seafloor. And we think that this repeated excavation and physical disturbance to the seabed in anchorage zones could be causing a lot of damage to not only the habitats within the area, but also it could be impacting the whole coastal zone around it by changing things like water column, chemistry, and how much turbidity there is there, and also creating a different environment for things that usually live there.
What prompted you to begin this research in the first place?
So in New Zealand, we're quite lucky to have some of our shallow coastal zones near to the cities really well mapped. And so when I was analysing some data sets from the Marlborough Sounds, I noticed that there was a lot of impact marks on the seabed outside Picton, where the anchorage site is designated. And then I noticed these same marks outside Wellington and in Auckland as well. And so I did a bit of analysis on what they could be and found that we could correlate ships to those particular marks. And then I had a bit of a look internationally, and I found that no one's really characterised the footprint of anchoring before. People know that there is correlations with anchoring and things like loss of biodiversity and habitat destruction, but we were able to essentially map this full footprint and see how big the damage zone is outside ports. And that provides us with a nice bit of information about just how big that damage could be globally as well, so we can upscale it to the global context.
I mean, Picton mostly experiences passenger ships with people coming across on the Inter-Islander. Do you think that ships like that, if it's mostly just those rather than the cargo ships, do you think that other ports, like you mentioned, Auckland, Wellington, that do take cargo ships from other countries and stuff, do you think that those would have lesser effects or more effects compared to the passenger ships themselves?
So it's essentially the size of the ship is the main issue. So a big ship has a big anchoring system because obviously it helps it to hold fast. So the bigger the ship, the bigger the footprint of the anchor on the seabed. In Picton, we did see both cargo and passenger ships causing anchor marks on the seabed. But because Picton is, relatively speaking, within New Zealand and globally, a quite a low congestion port, most ships go directly to port in Picton rather than needing to anchor. We thought that this would be kind of a lower end example of what could be occurring. And so we looked at ships coming into Wellington, and we found that ships are more likely to go to anchor in Wellington. And we also saw in Wellington the area that is damaged seems to be much larger. It's about three times the size area in Wellington compared to to the Picton port. So it is both passenger, cargo, but any sort of ship, small or large, that drops an anchor is going to do damage to the seabed, no matter, even recreational vessels are shown to cause damage.
Recreational ships, you mean things like just personal yachts that use anchors?
Yeah, so essentially, yeah, if you go out fishing and you drop the anchor, It seems quite small, and it is doing a sort of a small amount of damage on the seabed, though, when the boat moves with the it swings on the anchor, the chain on the seabed sort of grooves itself, and it can disrupt things like seagrass habitats, and it can excavate things like habitats for mussels and things like that. So we are noticing around the world there have been studies that show, depending on what is on the seafloor, whether it's rock or mud, those impacts are more or less lasting. So some instances, people have observed these marks on the seabed lasting for 10 years.
What are the wider consequences of anchor damage to seabeds?
So the seabed is a place where things live and grow, and so by destroying it or by disturbing it, we can change the normal. And that can be things like changing the sediment patterns, the sediment chemistry. We can do physical damage to habitats, which means it's hard for them to grow back. We can increase the amount of sediment that's in the water column so it can sort of smother animals. There's lots of biological and chemical impacts that we see possible, but we really need some more research into those downstream impacts. But it's sort of a bit of a next step for us to look into those other consequences.
What sort of cities do you think that you'll be looking at in your next steps if you continue researching this? Do you think that you'll continue looking in New Zealand, or do you think that you will look at international ports that have far higher levels of congestion?
We're going to stick to New Zealand because we want to know how we are impacting our environment here in Aotearoa, and it's important for us to understand the full scale of that impact. So our next step actually is to look into the microbes and see how they're dealing with things like repeat excavation by anchors. And so some of my colleagues who are microbial ecologists can try and figure out whether the microbes are stressed and see whether or not that could be impacting the entire ecosystem as they're sort of the basis of the ecosystem.
And are there any more sustainable alternatives to anchors?
There are solutions that have been suggested around the world. So things like establishing moorings, so essentially a fixed mooring location that ships can anchor, essentially clip onto. And that would mean that, you know, there's only one location that has the disruption, and then it's not sort of a repeat dredging of the seabed every time a ship anchors. There's other suggestions like slowing down on approach to port. So if the port is fully congested, then ships can slow their speed, so there's less requirement potentially or time that they need to wait upon approach to the port. Obviously, one of the biggest concerns is that our reliance on maritime trade, so shipping to move things around the world, is only going to increase in the future, and there's predictions for it to quadruple by 2050. So congestion, we expect, will be increasing with that. So we might need to consider things like bigger ports. But obviously with that sort of solution, we need to consider what the bigger ports' impact is as well on the wider coastal environment. So at this point, we don't have a great solution, but we're really interested in hearing about what other people might think could be good solutions to this environmental problem.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.